Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your kindness. We've seen it in so many ways over these last 20 years, and yet probably a trillion more we haven't even noticed. You constantly pour grace out on us. And so we just hope that this morning really would be about you and your grace and your mercy and your power and your love and your gospel, Lord, and that we would walk away just celebrating what a great God that you are. We thank you. We love you. We praise you. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, it is a special Sunday. I thought about dressing up, and I go, I already do like twice a year. I don't want to ruin the novelty. So, but we celebrate 20 years. It's hard to believe. I've shared the illustration before, but I remember after our very first service, my wife's family came out to support us. Her grandfather, who was in his 80s at the time, asked, so are you going to do this every week? And I was like, how do you not respond sarcastically to that? I'd been a pastor for like an hour and a half, and I was struggling with temptation, so that wasn't a good start. But now, 20 years later, I can officially say, by God's grace, we were able to do it every week. And it really is grace that has brought us to this special morning. And it's special. In fact, if you're visiting, and this may sound odd coming from one of the pastors, but don't get like too excited about Lighthouse, because I feel like you're going to hear some very encouraging testimonies, and we'll feed you in and out. And you might be thinking, man, this is great. I mean, the food is good. The pastor, he's so brief. He just talked for like 3-4 minutes. But it's a special Sunday. We'll just say the food isn't always as good. The teaching is definitely not always so short. So don't get too excited. But we're glad you're here. We thank you for celebrating with us. Now, there's a lot of, I think, personally, I would like to share about the privilege it's been to serve this church, my gratitude and love for the staff. There are people I would want to thank and acknowledge. But though there would be value in that, maybe another time I'll share, I think we might be tempted, if we do that, we might be tempted to simply look around us more than we look up. But this morning is really about God's grace. And so instead, let me share the theme verse that came to mind for this service. And it may not be the most expected verse, but to me, what was most fitting was 2 Corinthians 4:7. It begins like this, but we have this treasure in jars of clay. Jars of clay is not a glamorous imagery. Paul's basically saying we're like this disposable pottery. Back in the ancient world, jars of clay were virtually valueless, often used to hold the ordinary. So think less china and more a to-go container. They were weak and they were common and they were expendable. And yet, honestly, to me, this is kind of the perfect description of our church. We are weak and we are common and we are expendable. So why does this picture come to mind for our 20th anniversary? Because I think it's the clearest explanation of why our church is where it is today. Because though our goal wasn't to do anything big as a church, we were just trying to survive. You might be tempted to look around at the ministries that we have going on or the growth and think, well, we must have done something right. But in reality, as I shared last night, though we started the church with some simple theological and ministry philosophy convictions, the reality is in so many areas, we really didn't know what we were doing. So why would God bless us? There were churches with more people, better programs, nicer buildings, more gifted preachers. So how did we survive, at times even thrive over these last years? Well, I'm convinced it's this. God has chosen to bless us with all our weaknesses and our shortcomings to magnify himself in his grace. 2 Corinthians 4:7 in full says this, but we have this treasure in jars of clay to show that the surpassing power belongs to God and not to us. So what was Paul saying that in the greatness of the gospel, if the greatness of the gospel was going to be about the power and the glory of God, then it would have to be made known against the backdrop of our weakness, right? Like I mentioned, jars of clay are simple and easily broken. They're not much to look at. But because of that, there's never a question as to what is greater, the jar of clay or the treasure that it holds. And that's why I believe God has chosen to bless his church, because in blessing us, what has he done? He's shown himself to be great by using ordinary people like us to spread the gospel. Does it make sense? Through our weaknesses, God has shined. And so really, there should be no mistaking why we are who we are. And believe me when I say it's not like false humility, because I think our history has played it out. In fact, that's what really stuck out to me this week as I reflected on the past 20 years. So much of who we are, we simply stumbled upon as we try to be faithful to our convictions. We didn't start a church dreaming of growth or size. We were seriously just trying not to shut down. We didn't start a counseling ministry to transform our own church culture or to build up other churches. We were simply wanted to help the hurting. We didn't think a pandemic would be used by God to deepen faith and spread the gospel. And yet in each of these, kind of through our jars of clay efforts, and I would say even despite them, the gospel of Christ has shined. It's not our greatness that Christ is in our greatness that Christ has shown himself to be great, but in our weakness. With that in mind, what we wanted to share today are just some of the moments that made us. Those things that have been so integral to who we are and yet simply demonstrate how gracious God has been. And so one of our elders will kind of introduce the moment, and then we'll hear a testimony about it. And the hope is that in each of these, that you would get a picture of who we are as a church, and more importantly, the greatness and goodness of God over these last 20 years. And so to start us off, let me call up Pastor Gavin to introduce our first testimony.
Planting new Christ-centered churches have been around since Pentecost. But in the 1980s, a church located in the city of Rosemead called Evergreen Baptist Church had a senior pastor named Corey Ishida. And he was instrumental in helping Evergreen embrace a vision. And that vision was to plant new churches in areas where the gospel would spread. Lighthouse is one of those church plants. So if you're a Lighthouse member, you can thank God for Pastor Corey and his kingdom focus. Pastor Corey knew that to plant churches, though, these churches would need pastors. And this is why Evergreen placed such an emphasis on their pastoral leadership and internship program. And three of your elders, Pastors Kim, Ryan, and myself, were products of their kingdom investment. Personally, God used Pastor Corey to teach me what a pastor does and how he does it. But more importantly, he shared and modeled what it meant for me to be a faithful disciple of Christ Jesus. Pastor Corey lived out being a loving father because he was loved by the Heavenly Father. Pastor Corey lived out generosity because he knew how much Christ sacrificed for him. And Pastor Corey lived out faithfulness because he joyfully submitted his life to the loving authority of God's word. By the grace of God, God used Pastor Corey to touch many lives directly and indirectly, including many here at Lighthouse, which is why we wanted him to share about planting Lighthouse. So let's watch his video recorded encouragement.
After beginning my tenure at Evergreen Baptist Church, about 3 years into the ministry, the Lord laid two burdens on my heart. One burden was to train up future pastoral leadership, and the second burden was to plant churches. Well, the first burden was obvious. The church is going to need new leadership. The second burden had to do with the best way of expanding the kingdom of God. Both of these things come at a great cost to the church. And so when I approached the leadership of Evergreen, they were very open, surprisingly so, to both ideas, that we would begin an internship program to train up church leaders, especially senior pastors, and that we would begin a journey in planting churches. I remember when we planted our first church, the two expenses were very obvious. One was financial. We would lose finances as people left our church to plant a church. But more importantly, we would lose human resources, the people who actually make up and do the work of ministry. I remember when Lighthouse was planted, we lost a lot of resources. And as painful as it was, to God be the glory, it worked out very well. I remember that when they initially left, it stripped our church school department. The leadership of Lighthouse came a lot out of our church school department. And so we skirted around to sort of renew and replace. And, you know, God is so good, because every time we planted a church, the Lord always renewed our resources. And one of the things that has been one of the hallmarks of Evergreen over the years is their ability to be generous. The Lord blessed the internship ministry, blessed the church planting, because we have such generous people at Evergreen. And one of the things that has blessed me to know about Lighthouse is Lighthouse has retained that bit of DNA. And Lighthouse is an extremely generous church in many different ways, by training up interns, by planting churches, by investing in biblical counseling ministries. I think generosity is one of the things that has blessed me over the years about Lighthouse. I think one of the areas where Lighthouse has really done an incredible job is teaching and preaching the Word of God. I always felt that that was the key to the growth at Evergreen, that we faithfully attempted to preach and teach the Word of God. Kim only had one minor drawback all the time he was interning at our church. I remember his first practicum when he preached a message. He gave a 20-minute message in about 3 minutes. And we thought, Kim, you need to slow down a little bit. And now I am blessed to be able to say that I believe Kim is one of the best preachers we have in this generation. In fact, it blesses me greatly that he is so faithful to delivering the Word of God in the way that he does. The other things that we endeavored to teach our interns and those we are training for ministry was to make sure that they love the people. Teach the Word of God and love God's people. If you do those two things, I think the ministry can go a long way, and I believe Lighthouse has done a very excellent job in both. One of the things I've been sharing with my wife more recently is I'm entering into my twilight years, or practically, actually I'm pretty far into it, is I would tell her that, you know, I feel so very blessed that Lighthouse, and in particular Pastor Kim, is greatly exceeding that which I have done, or I had done. And that's really the dream of anybody who trains up somebody else or who mentors someone, that someday their mentoree will do things far better than they have done. And I can testify to that for Lighthouse. And so Lighthouse has always been a blessing to me. Lighthouse is a daughter church that provided us a granddaughter. And I am very thankful to God. And may all praise and glory go to the one who deserves it, Christ Jesus. Amen.
When we started, we were pretty small. And I was asking Kim recently, our core group was about 25 people. So we all had to wear a bunch of hats. And one of my hats was the designer of the group. And before that Sunday, I remember I needed to get a bunch of stuff done, you know, programs and banners and such. And by trade, I'm a designer and a printer. And that week before we launched the business, I had a huge order that I had to fulfill. And so I was really busy. And so I remember that week, Pastor Kim, Pastor Gavin said, hey, we want to come to your warehouse and just work so that you could do design work for the church. And, you know, here are two guys, you know, college educated, seminary trained, working in a warehouse to the benefit of the church. I'm not sure that we made any money that day as a business, but what a picture of humility, and I think really kind of something that it was encouraging to my heart. And another early memory was that when we launched from Evergreen, some of the families that were worshiping at Evergreen from the South Bay decided to join us, our kind of ragtag church planning group. And, you know, some of those are just slightly older than us, right? But I think the thing that I appreciate about them is that they were so humble to the teaching and to the leading of the elders and really willing to jump in and serve. They didn't come as consumers. They were there as people wanting to be a part of that church family. And I think that was so crucial to our early time at Lighthouse. I've been able to have a front row seat to the humility of my fellow elders and staff and deacons and lay folk. And I feel God really used that, right? He used those jars of clay to help our church thrive early on. To him be the glory. Now I wanted to invite up Gwen Silva to come up and share with us a little bit more what it was like back in the early days of Lighthouse.
Hello, my name is Gwen Silva. You might know me as a teacher in the preschool classes. Jeff is my husband. My daughter, Allie, was up here for worship, and she's a high school senior. And we are blessed to have, and Jaron is a freshman in college. Sorry, almost forgot him. Sorry, missed that. Sorry. My parents are Ben and Nancy, and Jeff's parents are Dan and Donna. And we are blessed to have both our parents attend Lighthouse. Kim asked me to share, since Jeff and I were part of a group of individuals who joined the South Bay Church Plant at Evergreen Baptist Church over 20 years ago. Before our church doors opened in 2003, there was at least a year or more of planning. I'm sure there were important discussions among the church elders about theological positions, church organization, and decision-making processes. But all I did was show up to a classroom every Sunday with Jeff to pray and talk about stuff. I can't exactly remember what stuff we talked about, but I just showed up and fell into serving Sunday school. And to be honest, my commitment to this church plant was pretty lukewarm because my impression of the South Bay was that everyone played basketball all the time and ate at King's Hawaiian Restaurant. What I knew of Torrance was that the city had a bunch of high schools with unoriginal names that referred to the cardinal directions of a compass rose. I had no connection to the South Bay, and I was definitely not invested in the people or the place, who I was sure spent their days playing basketball. After months of meeting, we finally held our first service at Magruder Middle School, and the excitement in the air was palpable. We were about to begin a great adventure. Evergreen brothers and sisters came out to support us and wish us well. We commemorated with King's Hawaiian Paradise Cake, the iconic symbol of the South Bay experience. But more importantly, we even had new people come out to check us out. I was sure it was going to be grand. But once the first day's excitement wore off, it was scary and unfamiliar. Although several families came from Evergreen, it seemed like I knew very few of my church fellow planters. Who exactly lived here? Who was related to whom? What was their connection to the South Bay? It seemed like they all had some kind of shared history that I was not a part of. I felt adrift. Furthermore, I didn't know my way around this town with gigantic eight-lane boulevards called Hawthorne and Crenshaw, and I missed the cozy San Gabriel streets of Del Mar and Valley with beautiful 99 ranch markets and cafe restaurants with extensive menus. The most challenging part was getting used to feeling like we as a new young church were underdogs. We didn't have an actual church home. At times, it felt like we were interlopers, setting up shop at some random school. Also, I felt a desperate ache to be liked when visitors came. Visitors came and went. And sometimes, when they didn't come back, I felt the sting of rejection and took it personally. I thought, what were we doing here? Why didn't they like us? Aren't we friendly enough? But slowly over time, my heart softened toward the South Bay and toward its people. We went from being a group of disparate church planters to co-laborers in Christ. God slowly increased our numbers. We moved from Magruder Middle School to Torrance High. We packed and unpacked the trailer with our belongings, Swiffered the playmats every morning before Sunday school, and memorized the layout of the high school classroom desk formation so that we could put it back exactly the way we found it. Kids did heart work. We as teachers planned lessons and crafts week after week as our own families grew. It was not uncommon to serve with babies strapped to baby carriers or find infants and toddlers napping in the stroller in the hallway during a meeting. Weeks turned into months, and months turned into years. We did life together and experienced joys and trials corporately. Jeff and I were shown big and small kindnesses. For example, Julie and Gary Wong drove all the way from the South Bay to our then home in Brea to watch Jaren for the evening so Jeff and I could have a date night. The Fukunagas gave us a beautiful personalized blanket and burp cloth when Allie was born. Kim and Jen brought out a video camera to us at Whittier Presbyterian Hospital to record Jaren's birth once it became clear that we would have a baby imminently, 8 weeks early, and we had nothing. But it was the ways in which our church leaders humbly dealt with loss that taught me what it meant to be part of a loving congregation. Kim did a sermon series on suffering early on, but it was while he and Jen were grieving themselves over giving back a baby in Japan that they thought they were going to bring home from an adoption agency. I remember hearing Kim's voice falter during his sermon, and I was overwhelmed by the knowledge that he and Jen were willing to share about their sorrows to encourage us. In addition, I watched Ryan and Carrie continue to love each other, their own family, and our church, even after the unbearable pain of losing baby Luke soon after his birth. Their presence Sunday after Sunday and their vulnerable, brave testimony was evidence of God's grace in their lives and their love for us. Our leaders gave us the privilege of weeping with them and praying for them. When I saw their faith deepen, my own faith was bolstered, and it knitted my heart to the church family. I think you already know that we now live in the South Bay and call it our home, and I've grown to like it. I've learned that while this area has its fair share of basketball players, there are volleyball players and golfers, and there are a lot of soccer players. King's Hawaiian is not the only game in town, and we have many other excellent restaurants. To this day, I feel overwhelmed by the amount of people in the fellowship hall. And sometimes I don't know who to talk to, but I remind myself that God has kindly allowed our church to grow in size. But more importantly, it is when I have seen fellow brothers and sisters carry out Paul's admonition in Romans 12:12 to rejoice in hope, be patient in tribulation, be constant in prayer, during big life-changing but also small, ordinary moments that I've come to really love our church family.
Nearly empty children's ministry classes, hot snacks like donuts that we cooked in class, and youth group meetings with 4 students and 7 advisors. These were some of the early days at Lighthouse. Did we really know what we were doing? Not all of us. I had served for many years with middle school and high school students, but never with young kids. I have 3 kids now between the age of 12 and 17. But 20 years ago, I didn't know that serving would mean holding a baby with poop leaking out of their diaper onto my clothes. What I knew was that God was calling us to plant a church in the South Bay, and that God is faithful. Our faithful God provided people with willing hearts but no experience for children's ministry, and he provided more seasoned people who knew how to serve. And together we figured out how to care for crying babies, how to share the truths of God's word in an engaging way, and how to show our teenagers how to faithfully live for Christ through these crucial years. God faithfully provided people to move desks around classrooms so we could set up the children's ministry room and then put them all back. God faithfully provided more classrooms at Torrance High as our needs grew. He faithfully provided our church office on 205th Street and now at our current position so that we could have youth group and they could be full of energy without causing a ruckus at someone's home. As I see our children's ministry today with overfilled classrooms and youth group here on Friday nights full of energy, I'm reminded of God's faithfulness for 20 years and blessed to see the children and youth of our church growing up in his word. At this time, I'd like to call up Nicole Kosubayashi, and she'll be followed by Justin Lee.
My name is Nicole Kosubayashi, and I'm the Children's Ministry Director here at Lighthouse. And I'm so thankful to have been a part of Lighthouse Community Church all these years. My start in a children's program began at Evergreen SGV under Auntie Rain Ishida. And it was during that season of serving that I really grew to love playing with the kids and sharing Jesus with them. So when we committed to church planting, I pretty much knew that I would want children's ministry would be the area that I'd want to serve in. But ironically, one of the concerns at the time was not having enough children for the children's ministry. You know, if only a few families with few of kids were planning with us, how long would it take to grow this ministry? It turns out we didn't need to worry. Right away, God faithfully brought more families to Lighthouse, and we all began growing our own families too. So how was that first Sunday at Magruder Middle School? In the children's ministry, we were ready. Plastic shower curtains were used to cover the bookshelves in a Spanish and math classroom. The entire ministry was made up of just 2 classes, Fireflies, ages 0 to 5, and Flashlights, ages 5 to 10. We had about 10 kids come that first Sunday. We had our treasure box with prizes, and we had a goodie bag for each newcomer. And guess what? Everyone got one because they were all newcomers. Time and again, God has been faithful, not only in how he has worked within us individually, but in how we have seen our children's program grow in size from about 10 kids to now over 200 in first and second service. And from the beginning, God has blessed Lighthouse with committed and faithful servants, and we might be one of the few ministries at Lighthouse with volunteers who have been serving continuously since its earliest service. And truthfully, when we first began our children's ministry, we weren't that seasoned. We were young and naive, but God was merciful, and he graciously honored the commitments of those who were sharing Christ each Sunday. And on top of that, God gave us hearts that were willing to invest in each other's lives. He continues to lead and grow us with the challenge and blessing of leading a now larger children's program. And seeing some of the youth kids that once went all the way through the children's ministry from infant through fifth grade now serving alongside their parents in the children's ministry really does highlight our God's great faithfulness. These last 20 years have changed us, allowing us to grow in our worship of God. So praise God that as we continue to love, trust, and obey him, he continues to equip, sustain, and grow us in our love for him and our Lighthouse family.
Hi, everyone. My name is Justin Lee, and I've been blessed to be a part of the Lighthouse Church family since we first planted. When Lighthouse first started, I was 10 years old, and I was just about to head into sixth grade. So you can imagine how difficult it is to try and summarize 20 years of God's faithfulness in just a few minutes. I've had the somewhat unique privilege of being both a student in our youth ministry through middle school and high school, and now I'm back in youth ministry as an advisor serving with our high school ministry. By God's grace, like Pastor Ryan mentioned, we have quite a few middle school and high school students that attend our youth group on Friday nights today, and I think I can say on behalf of the youth staff that it is a joy for us to see so many students on Friday evenings. However, again, like Pastor Rand mentioned, it wasn't always like this. In fact, when youth group first started those many years ago, again, there would be so many Friday nights where there were more advisors than there were students at youth group. So if and when this happened, that meant that you as a student needed to bring your A game to youth group because you were going to be answering all of the small group questions. And inevitably, everyone was going to be paying close attention to every single thing that you were saying. I remember there was a time where I asked someone in youth group, why did Pastor Kim talk so much about the Dodgers on Sunday mornings? And then having that question be used as an illustration in a sermon shortly after that. That sermon was preached by none other than our youth pastor at the time, Pastor Gavin, the very person that I asked that question to. So yes, and by the way, Gavin did ask for permission before using that illustration. Youth group was, though, like so many other ministries at the time, very small. But that also meant it was really intimate. You were able to get to know pretty much everyone in the ministry really well. I met many people through youth group who would eventually become some of my closest friends through middle school and high school. And even though I don't stay in touch with every single one of them today, I am grateful to have been in youth ministry with them in what ended up being such a unique season for all of us. I remember going to youth retreats, missions trips, volunteer events, snowboarding trips, random hangouts at people's homes, and I most definitely remember having some pretty ridiculously amazing snacks like poke, spam musubi, homemade seven-layer dip, and gut busters, which are chili cheese over Fritos. All that said, I think what I remember most about youth ministry, though, was just the people of this church. So many people sacrificed their time, their energy, and their comfort to love those like me and others who are part of the youth ministry. Whether it was being invited over for impromptu meals, teaching some of us how to play guitar, for me, being tutored and using that as a gateway to regular discipleship meetups, or even dropping some of us off to school, there are so many evidences of God's faithfulness put on display by the people of this church. And I'm sure that some of you who have been in youth group or even children's ministry for some time can relate. But growing up in this church means that there have been so many people here who have seen me in very different stages of life, from being a hyperactive middle schooler to becoming a relatively apathetic high schooler, to college, to dating, to getting married. And honestly, I can think of a lot of reasons why someone would find it difficult to move towards someone like me through all the messiness and the chaos of growing up. And yet that's exactly what so many in this church have done for me while I was in youth group and still do for me this day. I'm grateful to know that this has never been about making this church look great, making yourselves look great, or making life more comfortable. This has been about making sure that the people of this church, as Pastor Kim has often mentioned, don't leave Lighthouse thinking what a great youth ministry we have or what a great set of volunteers that we have, but what a great God that we have. People have relentlessly put Christ on full display through youth ministry, and that is a grace that none of us deserve. And I know our immediate families are often some of the closest people in our lives, and as a result, experience the most joyous moments of our lives, as well as some of the hardest ones. And as I think about my time in youth group, I do really think calling Lighthouse my church family is appropriate. So Lighthouse Church family, again, you have been with me through so much of my life, and I'm thankful to God that he has used you as a primary means of displaying his constant love towards me in my walk with him.
I wish we had more time to share about middle school Justin Lee's stories. A common prayer amongst church plants is this: God, bring more people to worship you. Help us to grow. And in 2003, Lighthouse's first year of the church, we averaged just under 100 adults each Sunday. And from 2004 to the middle of 2010, the church saw steady growth where the average Sunday attendance was at 178. But at the end of 2010, our average attendance jumped to over 200. With that increase, we're running out of room in the Torrance High cafeteria, and we had to add classrooms to keep pace with the growing children's ministry. God was answering our prayers, but people were leaving because we didn't have enough seats in the sanctuary or didn't have enough space for their kids. But God's timing is perfect. During late summer of 2010, Lighthouse signed a long-term lease to transform an empty warehouse into a church where Lighthouse would be a light to the cross in our community. But to convert a warehouse into the church we worship in now, Lighthouse needed funds. So we entered a stewardship project called Treasuring Christ, Generous Giving, the Gospel, and the Glory of God. The church was trying to raise $1.5 million, and for us, it was a Mount Everest amount. I don't know if you picked up on this, but we called this giving campaign a stewardship project. The church leaders wanted each of us to steward everything: our time, our education, our talents and skills, and even our finances for God's glory. There was a sentence the leaders used during the project to convey our heart for them, and it was this: it's not what we want from you, but what we want for you. We didn't want your money. We wanted you to be freed from the love and security of money so that you could worship Christ wholeheartedly. And that made all the difference. And the stewardship project was a radical fight for joy, our joy in Christ. So as you look at this building, may it remind us of God's faithfulness, but may it also remind us that God is continually ripping away our idols so that we can worship him with all of our soul, with all of our mind, and with all of our strength. So let's listen as Carol Soga shares what she and her family learned through the stewardship project.
Hi, good morning, church family. My name is Carol Soga, and I'm married to Glenn, and we have two sons, Matthew and Patrick. We've been attending Lighthouse since around the time when the church began meeting at Magruder Middle School some 20 years ago. From the time we first visited, we've just been captivated, hearing God's word broken down verse by verse, and having it explained in a way that we could apply it to our everyday lives. We just praise God for transforming our hearts through faithful, gospel-centered teaching from Pastor Kim and our elders and pastors. I was asked to share about the creation of our church home as we know it today. God displayed his faithfulness to the church in countless ways, but the most memorable for me was how God used so many sacrificial, loving saints to build his church. So as you've already heard, for the first 8 years, Lighthouse did not have a building to meet at. So Pastor Kim, his brother Jared, and countless other people just faithfully set up church in a trailer, if you will, transforming Torrance High School into a sanctuary and Sunday school. There were even a few Sundays when the high school was not available, but God provided week after week, giving us a place within the Torrance area where we could be equipped to worship him and grow as a church family. Then about, it's already mentioned, at around 2010, after much prayer and deliberation by the leadership and congregation, it was decided to begin a search for a possible church site. So just as from the beginning of Lighthouse, God supplied grace upon grace throughout this period, there were many obstacles in searching for a suitable site. And once God led us to this building, it was determined that $1.5 million, as Pastor Gavin mentioned, would be needed to transform the space into a church. And my husband and I were just stunned at this number. It seemed so large, and we wondered how our smallest church community would be able to raise that much money. But in October 2010, the elders began the giving campaign, Treasuring Christ. And I remember the elders lovingly leading the congregation throughout the season. And through their faithful teaching, God blessed our family with just a biblical understanding of stewarding our money, time, and talents for the glory of God. I was humbled and inspired to hear small group friends share what expenses they could cut out of their monthly budgets to give more to the build. And God was so good in using the season to help us clarify that He alone is worthy of our trust and worship, and not our finances or the security that money can falsely promise. So I'll never forget the day when we had a special service dedicated to the giving campaign, aptly named Giving Sunday, as Pastor Gav mentioned, on November 11, 2010. And we all presented our contributions, each family praying over their giving. And the children were giving these little blue piggy banks to collect their contribution. And they all came up on the stage and presented that. And I'll never forget that. And I just remember hearing stories of some children just wanting to give everything that they had to God. And to this day, it just really brings tears to my eyes. God was so good to use that giving campaign to bless us and our church family with an opportunity to give back to Him what He had so faithfully and abundantly blessed us with. And you're probably wondering about that big number we had to raise. Well, you know, as you probably guessed, God displayed His amazing grace by providing that $1.5 million that was needed through the generous giving of the church. And we were just all stunned and amazed at how God just provided exactly what we needed when we needed it. So as if that was not enough, shortly after the building began, it was determined that a second phase was needed and requiring $400,000 to complete the remodel. And then again, in June of 2011, God richly supplied our every need by providing those additional funds through the sacrificial church family. God faithfully provided saints from within the body, but also from the Torrance community to build His church. So Jason Ho, our elder, who led the transformation, was blessed to receive guidance from our kingdom-minded realtor and construction consultants who faithfully walked the elders through each step of the build. Pastor Kelly, along with many uniquely gifted brothers and sisters, labored side by side to transform what was once a commercial building into our church home. So through the build, God not only created the physical space for us to make Him known, but through the entire process, from fundraising to the final build, God grew our community and commitment to Him and to each other. Just like what Justin said, Pastor Kim's a good teacher. Glenn and I remember Pastor Kim say often in sermon that they don't want people to walk away from service saying how great the sermon was or how great the worship set was, but to say how great God is. And after reflecting on God's faithfulness and provision throughout our church history, I was reminded of how loving, powerful, and faithful our God truly is. So my prayer is that every time we walk into our church, our Ebenezer, that we will give thanks to our Abba Father, who provided grace upon grace to build His church, our home, where we get to worship Him with all that we are and to spur each other on to good love and good deeds.
I remember right before we planted Lighthouse some 20-some years ago, one of my friends, he was just going through a really tough time. And with most guys that age, it was like girl problems, you know, relationship problems. And I remember distinctly thinking to myself, I don't really know what to tell him. You know, I don't know exactly what the Bible says about this issue. Fast forward a couple of years, and, you know, we've established ourselves as this young church, and people in the congregation start coming to us with life problems and just seeking help. And I'm thinking, man, that's a tough one. You know, we should go ask the pastors. I'm like, oh, wait, that's me, you know. By God's grace, you know, these folks, they got the help they needed. But we were realizing more and more that counseling was going to be a big and important part of shepherding a church. And it was important to us that we counsel people with God's word, and just really to bring the power and hope of the gospel to bear into the everyday problems of life. So many of us went to get more training. Fast forward a couple more years, we started to do our own in-house training, and we had classes, and we hired a pastor to focus on counseling. You know, little did we know that God had much bigger plans. Biblical counseling is now in the DNA of what we do to love people and help them to love Christ. And the ministry keeps growing. We're training and teaching other churches and ministries around the world. So I wanted to bring up our pastor of counseling, Tim St. John, to share with us. You know, Tim is a dear friend. Every time I meet with him, I'm astounded that God would be so good to give us a brother who is so amazing at loving and caring for people. You know, counseling, it's hard, it's tiring, it's messy, but he leads us with such grace and such humility and thoughtfulness. And so I'm just so thankful for him. So welcome, Tim.
Happy anniversary, Lighthouse. It's my honor, and I'm going to talk briefly by not crying, by God, to just be used to tell this part of the story of his grace this past 20 years. And my challenge is to talk about a massive work of grace he's done in my life and in our entire church's life in less than 5 minutes. So I thought I'd break this into three parts. Counseling at Lighthouse is a story of making disciples. It's a story of learning to say help. And it's a story of our community growing together. So first, counseling is a story of making disciples. I came on staff at Lighthouse in the summer of 2011, but before I did, I was invited to attend the first counselor training class at Lighthouse that started at the beginning of that year, and I was already doing biblical counseling at the time at another local church. And up to that point, I had seen the Bible primarily as an authority that spoke like directly and specifically to every single problem of life. You could say my counseling at the time, my approach to biblical counseling was very problem-solution oriented. And I knew that we wanted to help people in the church and that God was glorified as they were helped. But the primary question of counseling for me was, how does God's word address this problem? But in that first class at Lighthouse, I wasn't even at Lighthouse yet, but I began to see that the focus of counseling must be Christ. As Robert Murray McShane said, for every look you take at yourself, take 10 looks at Christ. In that training, I realized that counseling is about helping someone grow as a worshiper of Christ. I learned that personal growth was not mainly the result of getting a grip of all the root issues in your life, but was mainly a result of getting a grip on Christ. So at Lighthouse, we often call biblical counseling gospel-centered counseling because Scripture is not only used to reveal our hearts, but more importantly, it is there to reveal Christ. Christ is altogether lovely, altogether worthy of our praise, and our identity, stated in Ephesians 1, is to live for the praise of His glorious grace. So we are most ourselves, we are most sane when we live with hearts that exalt and proclaim Christ. And that is why counseling is discipleship at Lighthouse. Our mission statement says that Lighthouse exists to make gospel-centered disciples that exalt and proclaim Christ. And so our counseling just describes how we fulfill that mission in the difficult seasons of life. Counseling is a story of making disciples. Second, counseling is a story of saying help. In the counseling I did before coming to Lighthouse, I rarely asked for help, and that was a major mistake. I just revealed a lot of pride in my heart. I think I confused the sufficiency of Christ and His word with my own self-sufficiency, so there's a lot of pride there. But coming to Lighthouse, I quickly learned from our leaders that we are a church that asks for help. Right? We want to be aware of our weaknesses and own our mistakes, get help with our blind spots. So now I ask for help all the time because that was modeled for me by our leaders. Even the Lighthouse counselors who have been doing this since the beginning still ask for help. We reach out to each other, to counselors and pastors at other churches. We go to conferences. And some of our counselors even pursue degrees in biblical counseling. We say help in a lot of ways. And what's truly amazing is that after asking for help, after all these years, God has put us in a position where others ask for help from us. We've been doing counselor training in Mexico, Myanmar, Japan, Germany, and we provided in-person training here at our church for over 50 other churches in LA and Orange County who've been coming out. And even the biblical counseling institutions that we have gone to get training from and get degrees from are now asking our counselors to teach classes, give workshops, write blogs, write books, and equip counselors. And I just want to say this, that this is This is always what God does when we say help to him and to each other. He grants wisdom and grace and then calls us to share that with others. Like just those who come to counseling at Lighthouse, who ask for help in that way, they often become the most powerful witnesses to God's grace in our church. I believe that the more we ask as a church, we ask for help from one another, we are going to create incredible opportunities to grow together. And that's the final part of this. Counseling at Lighthouse is a story of our community growing together. Ephesians 4:15 says that as we speak the truth in love, we grow up in every way into him as the head, into Christ. The hope of biblical counseling at Lighthouse has never been to have a ministry in the corner of our church where we send everyone who has a burden. When someone says help to their community here at Lighthouse, we expect that they and those around them are going to grow like Christ, grow more like Christ. So when someone shares their burden in our counseling ministry, we get to see the counselor, the counselee, and their community all grow together. So rather than replacing relationships of care, we hope our ministry equips relationships to care more deeply. One question we try to ask in every counseling session or in every counseling case is, who else? Who else at Lighthouse knows about this burden and is actively seeking to care for you? Who else? If the answer is nobody, then we work hard right at the beginning to draw that circle of care bigger so that other relationships in the church bear witness to God's grace, grow in grace, so together our whole church family gets to become like Christ. So the question I'd like you to ask yourself this morning is not, am I a counselor, but what kind of counselor am I? What kind of counselor am I? Your church family can observe how you treat people, right? In a small group, people will know if you're honest, kind, patient, humble, caring, counting others more significant. And if you are that kind of counselor, that will determine what kind of stories are shared. People will open up. People will answer the questions you ask, and grace will be given. So as our growing church heads into the future, we must remember that we are a family. Growing together. We are siblings of those we help. We share this common Father in heaven, and we are all becoming more like him together. We don't stop growing when counseling sessions end. We are all children growing up together that continue to help each other grow, and that growth is seen in our love for each other. So my prayer for the next 20 years of our counseling ministry and of our church is that we would make disciples, that we would ask each other for help, and we would grow to love more and more like our great Savior.
And when you think of an intern, you usually think of a young new hire who would get your coffee in the morning and pretty much do all the menial tasks around the office, usually for long hours and little pay. So at Lighthouse, that's pretty much how we treat all our interns. You know, they keep Pastor Kim's sandals nice and clean. They put the blue tape lines down the NPR for Kenny's pickleball court. And we pay them like $3 an hour. No, we love having interns and having the opportunity to help train and prepare them for ministry. You know, over the years, we've had dozens of interns come through, and we never really know what and where God might call these folks to. You know, some, like a few of our associate pastors, Euphemio, Francis, David, stay around, and they continue to serve and bless Lighthouse. Some are called to serve and pastor at other churches like Alton Toe and Chris Wong. Some are called a church plant, like Hide and Toshi in Japan. It's interesting because when these folks start with us, we truly have no idea where they might end up. But one thing we learned, as you heard earlier from the church that sent us, is just to always be kingdom-minded and let the Lord lead. You know, if you asked us 20 years ago, you know, would we be church planting? We would have said, buddy, we're just a small church trying to survive ourselves. But God has blessed us so richly and expand his kingdom through the opportunity to love these men and women and send them out to wherever God in his perfect wisdom and timing call. So let's hear from two of our former interns and now seasoned church planters, Pastor Jesse and Eric. And if you've been with us for more than 6 or 7 years, you might remember these guys as being a bit goofy and not always the most mature. Well, fortunately, as you'll see, nothing has changed.
Hey everyone, I'm Eric, I'm Jesse, and we're pastors here in Allen, Texas at Zoe Community Church, which is a church plant from Lighthouse, started in 2016. Pastor Kim asked us to share about some of our memories from our time at Lighthouse, as well as planting a church, and also how we've seen God's faithfulness over the years. So we wanted to do that in an interview form. So I'm going to ask Jesse some questions. Yep. You can answer, and hopefully you'll be blessed by it.
And entertained a little bit. Okay.
All right. So, Jesse, nice to meet you.
Thanks for having me here. Really appreciate it.
No problem. So you were an intern at Lighthouse. How long were you there, and what time in Lighthouse's history?
Yeah, thanks, Eric. I joined the staff at Lighthouse as an intern in 2008, and that was after I graduated college. I had been attending Lighthouse all throughout college. So, and then I stayed as an intern and then a ministry associate and then an associate pastor, I guess, church planner, till 2016.
I also started as an intern in 2008.
Oh, you don't say.
What a coincidence.
Yeah.
From your time being an intern, are there any particular memories that you have, whether they're good or they were impactful to you, or funny memories from that time?
Yeah, we had so many good memories. Back then, Lighthouse was a little smaller, so we wore a lot of hats. We did a lot of different things. One of my recurring memories is being late to everything. All the different ministries I was slated to help out in, children's ministry. We even used to do worship. We would help out with the music. We would do setting up ministry. They called it Shelps. And that's because we met at Torrance High School in the morning. So we had to show up really early, and then I would show up like 20 minutes later. And then we would help set up the chairs, stuff like that. Those are some of my best memories. But other memories that I have, I think one of my favorite memories is just spending time with the staff, getting to know people, spending time with Pastor Kim and Pastor Gavin, learning about pastoral ministry, learning about counseling, just being supported throughout seminary, and even just having the ability to grow with other people in the church.
Yeah, I would agree. My favorite memories include a lot of things that you said. I also coincidentally remember being late to a lot of things as well.
Yeah, I remember seeing you.
But one memory that sticks out from our time as interns was just, like you said, the time that we would spend as a smaller staff, right, learning from Kim and Gab in a more intimate setting, reading books together, being able to hear them answer a lot of questions. I remember talking through different political issues and theological issues with them.
Yeah.
Just being able to learn from those men who were kind of going before us in ministry.
Yeah.
So kind of speaking of that, as you think about church planting and how they sent us out, Lighthouse sent us out, like I said, in 2016, what are some of the ways that you and I have both seen God's faithfulness to us through Lighthouse in the whole church planting process?
Yeah, great question, Eric. So we were sent out to plant the church in 2015, 2016. And one of the immediate ways in which I think we saw God's faithfulness was through Lighthouse. So Lighthouse prepared us, but not only that, they sent us out. So they provided financial support. They were willing to totally, completely provide everything we needed for 2 years at least. They also helped us get off the ground, helped us get different people coming out with us. They sent us out with their blessing. But I think on top of that, I think we could see God's faithfulness even in learning at Lighthouse what it means to be part of a healthy church. And that's something we've been trying to model ourselves. And we could see how much of Lighthouse DNA got into us. And that's helped us, I think, know what to shoot for and what to strive for at Zoe.
Yeah, I'd agree with that. I think all the things you said, we've seen God's faithfulness and the provision through Lighthouse, the leadership, the friendship that Lighthouse has continued to provide. Just one small example is the retreats that we've had as a church here in Texas. And you guys at Lighthouse have sent people out here to minister to us and to our families, and that's been such a blessing. We couldn't have done that ministry without that support and that help. And we've seen God's faithfulness in so many ways through this whole process of sustaining us, of answering our prayers, of knowing that our friends and our supporters at Lighthouse have been praying regularly for us all these years. It's really been a testament to God's goodness to us.
Yeah.
Kind of any last things that you want to say, Jesse, to Lighthouse in light of their 20th anniversary being here? It's pretty crazy that it's been that long.
Yeah, I just want to say I think that is pretty crazy that it's been that long. I was there personally for 11 of those years. And they were some of the best years, I think, of my life. And I'm really thankful. So hopefully, here's the 20 more.
Yeah. For me, same thing. We love the leaders, the elders at Lighthouse, and the staff, and everyone who we still miss back there. We've learned a lot from you, and we hope to continue to learn from you as you continue to kind of advance ahead of us in ministry as a church and as individuals. One last memory I do recall is that early on when we were at Lighthouse and I was interning, they asked me to start making videos. So I made some of those early videos, and they were really unserious videos. But now, as you can see, we've gotten a lot more serious in our video making.
Yeah.
4 years ago, we had realized that we'd survive and things at Lighthouse were great. The sanctuary and the children's ministry were packed. Ministries were in full swing with regular meetings and special activities. Then in March of 2020, everything came to a halt. The things that seemed to only happen in movies were not happening all around us as the COVID-19 pandemic caused sickness, shutdowns, and even death. Suddenly, we could no longer gather in person for church. Our children were learning from home, and even getting basics like food and other essentials were not only difficult, but even scary. Through all of this, God was and continues to be faithful. Fear turned into faith in God's purposes and plans. The hunt for Clorox wipes presented opportunities to show kindness in ways such as buying food and other essentials for people. While we searched for hand sanitizer, we also had opportunities to and a new urgency to share the gospel with others, some of whom we were scared to talk to in the past. God worked through many ways through the pandemic, showing his faithfulness over and over. At this time, I'd like to introduce Alice Davis.
Hello, Lighthouse. I'm Alice Davis. My husband, Ben, and I have been coming to Lighthouse since its first year, and back then we only had three sons. And now our fourth and youngest son will be graduating high school. So James is the one who wanted to make sure I practiced a lot because he wanted to make sure my jokes would land. I'm not sure if he thought I was giving a testimony or a stand-up comedy routine, but rest assured, I was asked to give my testimony of God's grace and faithfulness during the pandemic. In the first online sermon, Pastor Kim preached about God's bigger story, more specifically our roles in God's plan to point people to Christ by shepherding, serving, and sharing. So today I'm going to share God's grace in these three areas. From the very beginning of the pandemic, it was clear that our elders and staff worked hard to shepherd our church family. God was so gracious to shepherd my heart through the sermons and the midweek devotionals, Truth for Troubled Times. Those first weeks, though, I fueled my fears by constantly watching statistics on TV. I tried to read up on ways I could keep my family safe, and even though I said I was trusting in God's sovereignty, my actions didn't show it. My actions showed that I was believing in the power of the coronavirus and not the power of God. And rather than trusting that God was in control, I foolishly tried to do everything in my power and in my control. But on that second Sunday, Pastor Kim preached on Mark 4:35 through 41, Jesus calms the storm. In that sermon, he said, Jesus didn't just stop the storm, he brought it. It was when I heard that truth, my fear was replaced with a peace in knowing that God's sovereignty wasn't just about his power, but also his intention, his purpose. God had ordained the pandemic just as Jesus had brought the storm. As the weeks went on and the 2 weeks stay-at-home order became just stay at home. I looked forward to having our family and our now daughter-in-law, Rachel, gather together for Sunday worship. I remember searching for juice every communion Sunday, and I remember each week eagerly awaiting Pastor David's end-of-service scenes. God was so faithful to shepherd us through our elders and staff and the weekly online teachings. And it wasn't just Sunday service, but other ministries moved online. My two younger sons attended online youth group, and through that, God provided a wonderful grace to my son, Andrew. It was during this season of being physically apart, God gave Andrew a community that he had been missing at church. Prior to the pandemic, Andrew would often go home immediately after youth group and not stay to fellowship. But during the pandemic, rather than logging out, he stayed to play online video games. And through that, fellowship friendships grew. It was so great to see how God used that time to develop relationships that are still being nurtured today. Another grace was the opportunity for Andrew to serve on the VBS worship team. That year, worship videos had to be made because VBS was completely online. It was such a grace to see Andrew and countless others, both on screen and behind the scenes, serving and preparing a week of songs, stories, activities, and crafts for the Lighthouse children. It was truly amazing to see it all come together. For me, though, small groups served as a way to point me to Christ by allowing me to stay in community. Zoom provided a way to continue to meet weekly, and sometimes even more. Our Thursday morning small group was still able to study, pray, and fellowship together, even though we were apart. And because we had already built relationships prior to the stay-at-home order, we transitioned easily online. When that spring session ended, our small group leaders were asked to serve in a short summer session at a time we would normally have a break. My co-leaders and I were happy to continue to serve, but we were unsure what it would look like to build new relationships in an online environment. Yet God was faithful. We moved our meeting to the evening so we wouldn't be fighting for internet bandwidth. And because we were in the evening, working women and students were able to join. One gal in particular asked us to pray for a friend. She wanted to invite her to join the small group in the fall. And so we did every week. Let's just say her friend was very reluctant. She was in a season where she was renewing her faith. She was attending Sunday services and was faithfully reading her Bible, but she was not looking for community. God had other plans. She signed up for fall small groups because we didn't meet in person, but because we were online, she had no excuse not to log in every week, although she did try. As reluctant as she was, God grew a community around her, and she has been a welcoming presence in our small group ever since. What a grace to see God's faithfulness in her life and in how he answers prayers. It really gave me such hope. With aging, non-believing parents, the thought of them contracting COVID-19 and me not having shared the gospel with them again weighed heavy on my heart. Sharing my faith with my parents has never been easy because years ago, I had been told very specifically that they did not want me to share with them. However, the weight on my heart was almost unbearable. So I asked a dear sister, Christy Kobata, to pray for me as I wrote them a letter. I wrote of God's goodness, his grace, and his great love for us through the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus. I remember tears falling as I was writing because I had been praying for their salvation for so long. When I finally finished the letter, I sealed it and placed it in an order of groceries I had sanitized and was set to deliver to them. I waited to hear back, nervous and hopeful. When I finally heard back, my dad said that both he and my mom had read the letter and he thanked me for writing it. He said that he knew it came from a place of love and that he would think about it. While I am still praying for the day that my parents would know Christ as their Lord and Savior, I am thankful for God's grace to open a door for me to share the gospel with them. There are so many more examples of God's grace in his bigger story during the pandemic. Thank you for allowing me to share just a few with you today.
Well, I hope you've been as encouraged as I have. Eric and Jesse sharing made me think about the time at an earlier anniversary service where Eric was supposed to service lead. So he's actually, and he just didn't come. Well, actually, let me correct that. He came for in and out. Honestly, he just missed service, came for in and out. So a few things before we close with one last song. I wouldn't be a pastor if I didn't offer at least a few applications. So first, remember that the faithful God we just spent testimony after testimony hearing about is the same God that is faithful to you. And so maybe you come this morning and life is difficult. You don't feel like celebrating. God has called you to do something hard. You're worried about someone you love. I just hope our church is a reminder that our God is relentlessly faithful, and he will bring himself glory in the ways that he's faithful to you. Second, it's a blessing to look back, but we also need to look forward, because there is just so much work to be done. We must continue holding to the mission that has guided us to this point to make gospel-centered disciples who exalt and proclaim Christ. And lastly, if I have any worry about a day like this, is that too much attention is given to the church and not enough to Christ. And so that's why we kind of structured everything we did in the service to point to our great and faithful God. He has been so good to us beyond what we can imagine. In fact, let me just close with what I closed our very first service with 20 years ago, something you've already heard a couple times, but it really is at the heart of our church. In that first service, I said at the end, I hope that when you leave today, you'll not say what great worship or what a great message or what a great church, but what a great God. Will you pray with me? Dearly Father, we thank you for your grace and your mercy, for your kindness and for the opportunities we've had to hear this morning of testimonies of all of that. And we pray, Lord, that as we continue to celebrate, as we break bread together, as we reminisce, Lord, that you would continue to be the focus of our hearts. You have been a great God. We thank you. We love you. We praise you. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.